All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back today. We've got somebody I'm excited to talk with. We've got a vegan filmmaker. We've got Andrew Alexander. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. So tell me a little bit about your vegan journey first off. I wanted to know, how did you become vegan? Tell me a story.
Definitely. So like everyone, there's a unique story. So I eased into it where the first thing is I moved to Boulder, Colorado. I didn't have any friends there. So I went to a meetup potluck dinner, which happened to be a vegan potluck dinner. So I drove all the way down to Denver, met a lot of friends there. And then because I made friends with them, they kept inviting me out over and over again. They had me watch the documentaries like Cowspiracy, Earthlings. They took me out to animal sanctuaries, to animal rights activism events. And when I was in one of the sanctuaries, I saw a pig there and I looked a pig in the eye and realized there's life in here. It's not that huge disconnect or that suppression of emotions or empathy in my whole life. So that hit me. And that same day I went on Facebook and my friend shared a fundraiser for a sheep's medical bills in a different sanctuary. And something opened up my heart and I realized, okay, between the documentaries, my ability to not be protein deficient on a vegan diet, and all that together, eventually in 2017, I went vegan for ethical reasons.
And you didn't turn back, I suppose. Yeah, and so how has the community been to you as far as the support that you get from your fellow vegans?
So for the documentary, it's probably the most supportive thing I've ever worked on in my life. So prior to being vegan, I've been an entrepreneur. So I started an app business. I published books. I did coaching. But then when I decided I wanted to use my, I guess, entrepreneurial drive to make an impact for the animals and combine the, I guess, nonprofit grassroots part of it with my skills, all that together turned into creating a Vegan World documentary. And I've interviewed more than 150, probably close to 200 people now between my documentary, between my social media channels. And every single person has been so supportive. I interview one person, they introduce me to three more, and I've absorbed so much knowledge. And a lot of things, if people are listening to me for the first time, while the other documentaries, they focus more on this is why you should go vegan, I like to speak to existing vegans about how it could be more strategic, how we could be much more leverage and create exponential growth for the animals faster.
Well, that's a good plan right there. So what is your plan?
So it's a collection of things. So the documentary begins, I'll just give a quick spoiler alert for the beginning, is the documentary begins after I go vegan. So 2017, I told you my vegan story, I went vegan, but for the most part, I wasn't doing anything to grow the movement. So I quickly learned that probably 385,000 people are born into this world every single day. So if we have just one-on-one outreach through street activism or even posting on social media, the big thing that happens is we argue with people who've already been conditioned by the system. The food pyramid tells them to have dairy, have animal products, the marketing, their society, all this stuff together, that conditions every single person born. So even if we make 100,000 people go vegan every day, there's still that huge system that is conditioning new people and it makes it a much harder task. So what I learned through my documentary is with people I've interviewed. So for example, in the UK, ethical veganism is a protected class. So I know in France, if you have kids in schools, you need to get a note from your doctor to serve vegan meals. But in the UK, if you say you're ethical vegan, by law, they require to give it to you. Other examples, I didn't interview them, but in Canada, they removed dairy from the food pyramid. So all those little strategic things are how we could use the system to make it much less social conditioning when people grow up and have a lot of time easier for us to create new vegans in the future.
And how responsive are we growing in size? That's a really good question. Are we getting bigger as a community?
So that's the question I don't have the exact numbers for. As I travel the world, I see more and more activists that are active. So to better answer that with my experience, it's not so much about there's more people, but the people I interviewed are doing more unique things, such as the ethical veganism being a protected class. Or, for example, in Australia, there's a social media influencer. She's a model. She has 2 million followers in the fashion industry. And then she works in the vegan message to her posts. So instead of my account where I post strictly animal rights messages, I reach a small bubble where the algorithm only shows it to vegans for the most part. Mm. She has this niche audience of 2 million people that starts hearing about animal rights activism. There is a friend of mine, he's a best-selling author in a different niche. He has hundreds of thousands of readers. His fourth book is about a couple who starts a vegan business. So in these examples, it's not so much even if we have more people, but the things that we do as activists is much more impactful from what I've understood.
Mm. And what do you think are some of the good ways to convert somebody that direction? I mean, you mentioned documentaries and stuff. What else is on the table?
So documentaries, good question. Normally I have questions beforehand and time to think about it, but I like having me on my feet.
Yeah.
So great ways to convert people. I think the biggest lesson is not everybody is the same. So when I was in Berlin, I just telling you before the call, I was filming in Berlin, there's somebody's part of the punk rock scene. And in that community, they follow certain influencers. They have certain role models. And I believe Moby made a documentary that reached people that supported in the music industry. So people that follow him follow that way. I have people that are new vegan mothers where they want to raise vegan children. So reaching them is a different way. So to reach more people, it's really about finding what you are specialized at and then doing that as part of your activism. So I know someone who's a vegan exterminator. So they don't kill the animals. They have another way of doing that. So there's different things that are unique to your skill set. And for me, like I mentioned, as an entrepreneur before being vegan, so my entrepreneurial drive goes into my documentary through the book I'm writing or any future businesses that I start.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We need all types, and especially we need entrepreneurs, as well as people like me who are just angry old hobos who like to just yell at people and shake my fist. So it's good that we have a whole house of people that can do all these fantastic things. So food is another good way, right, to convert people to veganism, just by giving them some wild flavors and tastes. What is some stuff that you eat as a vegan?
So I always go from a spectrum. So I try to be whole foods, plant-based, but then my taste buds kick in and then I eat the newest vegan chicken sandwich or something like that. So what I eat as a vegan, I think with me, breakfast is always coffee and then soy milk or almond milk, or now I switch to oat milk. So I think back when I first went vegan, it was mostly just almond milk or soy milk, but now I like oat milk, and just having these new innovations come out is really good. But I know in Germany, there's a place in Frankfurt that I visited. I forget the name of the restaurant, but it is really amazing dishes. And the entire scene in Germany when I visited that country is just every place at least had one vegan option there.
Yeah. I'm proud to live in Germany as a vegan because the access to the food is really incredible. So let me ask you this: you crowdfunded this movie all by yourself. You raised an incredible amount of money in a really short amount of time. Who are some of the people that you are interviewing in the movie? Some of the bigger names.
So I've, between the movie and my social media, I interviewed about 150 people, just to list off the top of my head. When I was in Australia, I interviewed Chris Darwin. He's the great-great-grandson of Charles Darwin. He created an app called the Darwin Challenge, where it starts off with people who use one meat-free meal per week, and they transition into it. And on the complete opposite side of the spectrum, I was just in Germany and Austria. There's a vegan activist named the Militant Vegan, Raphael Raab, and she's following the more abolitionist approach. And when I was interviewing her, it's amazing. She got stopped every 30 seconds on the street because she's famous on TikTok. But the way she gets through to people, someone says, I'm a reducitarian, I'm a vegetarian. She does not stop until she gets the point through, until they realize that these baby steps are not the right way to go for her. And she could create vegans on the spot like that. So very wide spectrum. There's politicians. There's a member of parliament in the European Union I just interviewed. The first vegan hospital in the world in Lebanon, I was filming there. Then people in Singapore who are using innovative technology to create vertical farming, the lab-grown meat industry. Where else was I?
Wow.
Yeah, pretty much all around the world. I could list 100 names, but those are the ones off the top of my head.
That's wild. And so what do you think are some of the big hurdles? I mean, getting the message out there. I mean, we have the meat lobby we're fighting against. What else do you think are some of the big hurdles we got to face?
So one of the things on that topic about the meat lobby and the meat industry is I interviewed a man, you probably know him, Friedrich Mullen. He's an investigative person in Germany where he shut down dozens of slaughterhouses, factory farms. During my interview, he said the industry is actually aware that they're struggling. So behind the scenes, they're taking notice. And there's even companies that are meat companies investing in lab-grown meat. Or in Germany, I think there's one transitioning to plant-based foods. So the hurdles, of course, there is the lobby there. But from my personal opinion, number one is we need more vegans who are doing things, because there's an estimate that 1 out of every 1,000 vegans are activists. And like I was saying before, if each one of us finds our unique niche in the movement, this is how we grow faster. So I like to focus on the things that we can control. So we can control the actions we take, the activism we do. And I use that term loosely because I'm not on the streets holding signs. I'm making a documentary. You have your podcast. Right. There's a person making the vegan hospital. So whatever the skill set someone has listening to this, if you do the work you do, there's a huge puzzle. You fill your piece, and if other people fill their pieces, we create a vegan world sooner. So in the general sense, we need more vegans doing things. But also I notice a lot of people, they want to start things, but then fundraising is a problem, because my documentary, I've raised enough to get to where I am today, and I'm raising more to finish the film this year. And I'm very persistent. I come from a background where I've done this before, and it's still a struggle, where I met hundreds of other initiatives where if they even had €100 or $500 or $1,000, that's enough to get them started to create the impact they want in the world. So getting more fundraising into these initiatives that are growing a vegan movement, I find that's been a biggest obstacle so far.
Sure. When you start talking about raising money, that's the one thing that people don't want to part with. But if it's for a good cause. So the name of your movie is called Creating a Vegan World. Is that right?
Correct.
So take me through a little bit of the structure of the movie. And
so I hope I answer your question the way you ask it. But for the structure movie, it's basically I start off the movie as vegan. Then in Melbourne, Australia, I go to a vigil where we saw the pigs on the trucks before they go in a slaughterhouse. And there's hundreds of pigs in the trucks. And there's at least 36 activists that were there giving them water, taking photos. The police were there. And then the trucks just drive away. They go in. And then the branded bacon or ham trucks come out on the other side, which is, that's the thing that really hit me. So I mentioned 2017, I went vegan. Years passed, I wasn't really doing that much. But then I realized, okay, in this moment, we have so many people and we can't do anything this moment. So I asked myself the question, what can we do more for creating a vegan world? So it starts off with investigating street activism, where I interview disruptive activists, people doing cubes of truth, holding signs, chalking events, stickering. Then I realized that's only reaching a limited amount of people. So then I go into social media, how we could leverage social media to be more effective. Then I interviewed Jordy, who turned ethical veganism into a protected class in the UK, and realized instead of just growing like this, one action could have a huge ripple effect. So that's when I open up the doors and I interview all these great people in the movement who are using that leverage, inspiring me and other people to be more strategic so we could create a vegan world decades faster. And then at the end, it's just really about the individual. So like I mentioned in my opening journey, one of the reasons that pushed me over the edge of going vegan is one post on Facebook for a fundraiser of a sheep. The man that started the first vegan hospital in the world, he saw one post on Facebook about a cow being slaughtered in an abattoir. So hopefully my documentary has a huge effect in the community. He has a massive influence on the plant-based health community, inspiring other hospitals to do the same. But it came back to one post. So if someone's listening to this today, that's how much one of your actions could take, and you never even know the outcome of it. My friend probably never even knew that's the reason that pushed me over the edge to go vegan, but it has this huge effect. So that's why I inspire everybody to do something, even if it's a little action every day, because it might inspire someone else to do something big.
Sure. And how do you feel about the rest of the vegan community as far as, you know, a lot of them fight with each other and everybody has their different ways of doing things. Are you the type, you think information is the best, or you think killing them with kindness, or do you think screaming at them? Which one works best?
So I don't want my experience of gaining all this knowledge to make it sound like I have the answer for this question, because I don't. This is just my theory. So I guess my theory is, they're both right and they're both wrong. So
we need everybody.
Everybody, yeah. So for example, there's the abolitionist approach where you have to go vegan right now and it's unacceptable for anything less. And then there's the other argument saying that's not reasonable. Baby steps gets people in the right direction. Reducing meat consumption will eventually lead to a better outcome. And that's one of the bigger, I guess, arguments I see back and forth. But instead of arguing back and forth, what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong? And what if the other person's right? We don't know these answers. So I personally feel some people are hit by different ways. And instead of arguing, we focus on what we do best and learning from our experience. So for example, if I don't know, like I produce 5 vegan documentaries and nobody goes vegan because of it, maybe I'm better suited doing something else. So gathering the data and then just reflecting on your experience. And then instead of fighting, I just feel that everything has a benefit. And if you focus on when you're gone, that's the energy is best served there as opposed to fighting and arguing.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's just my opinion.
When you get sick of the struggle in the streets, being a sort of, anonymous for the voiceless kind of activist, you can go back into your kitchen and hide from all these horrible people and just start a cooking show with a vegan, you know, be creative, switch it up. We need everybody. But like Jordi Casamitjana said, he says, veganism is like a house and we all, there's all these different rooms in the house and we need documentary guys and we need angry old men and with microphones and blue shirts to yell, and that's me. So, what else is on your mind as far as the future of veganism? Do you think that the world is undoubtedly vegan? And what would you tell somebody? I know that you mostly talk to vegans, people who are vegan already. What would you tell somebody that was not vegan yet about the reasons that they should immediately go? If you had 2 minutes just to, grab somebody by the collar and tell them, what would you say?
Ooh, great question. Most of my work is speaking to vegans. So if I was speaking to someone who's not vegan, every vegan that I've met, they told me that the biggest regret is not going vegan sooner. So a lot of times we're distanced from the end result of our actions. We buy a fast food burger. We buy chicken wings at the supermarket. But if you follow the money that goes into an industry that kills 80 billion land animals per year and 3 trillion fish, and when people connect the dots between their actions and the end result of the outcome, that's when people realize that your actions are killing animals, and this is important. And there's all these different arguments about maybe a plant-based diet is not as healthy or you don't get enough protein, where if you ask a cow that right before they're about to get slaughtered, it doesn't matter. So, and I think the last part of that I don't hear other people say is it is a psychological mechanism to shield that information that contradicts with your beliefs. So if I say someone's not vegan, they kill animals with their food choices. Psychologically, the first thing you do is defend your actions. So if a non-vegan talks to me saying, oh, this non-vegan diet's better, I fall to the same psychological mechanism. I will defend my position because that's my belief and that's how psychology works. So what I suggest for people is keep an open mind and explore it with curiosity. So instead of immediately dismissing a message, be curious, be open about it, and understand that, okay, something really is happening here. And sometimes our guilt pushes down and suppresses the empathy that we have towards the animals. So move that out of the way, analyze it for a second, be curious, be open to the message and listen to it. So when I say that 80 billion animals get killed every year for food and it's unnecessary, don't resist it, look more into it, and follow people who are better at me that are articulating veganism. There's Earthling Edge, Jolie Carbstrong, Tosh Peterson, other people on social media that will give you the information that you need going forward. And there's plant-based health doctors and dietitians that are able to give you the nutritional advice to allow you to step into a diet that does not harm animals.
So as you go along in your vegan journey and you're learning all these things and you're becoming a part of this community, you also, and in going for the animals, you had this connection with the animals and you gave up the meat and the dairy. When you started to read about the health stuff, what did you find as far as some of these myths? I know we talked about protein before. What are some of the stuff that you learned about actually the health benefits?
So I interviewed Dr. Peter Johnston. He's from Melbourne Lifestyle Medicine in Australia. He's a registered dietitian. And it's funny, while I'm editing his interview about whole food, plant-based, no oil diets, I'm eating like a vegan chicken sandwich or a vegan burger or vegan junk food. And it's contradicting what he says on the health side, which is kind of interesting because even trying to do that, our taste buds get the best of us. So what I learned is what he went into is If you are 10 years old and you have a Western diet, you will have heart disease. So through patients that died through, I guess, trauma, like car crashes, victims like that, when they did autopsies, every single one of them on a Western diet had heart disease. Not the type that's going to give them a heart attack at 10 years old, but the first stages. So when we look at the normal diet and the way most people eat Western diets, people get diabetes, they get heart disease, they get cancers. So if we do comparison to the normal diet, that is absolutely terrible. And it's the worst thing, in my opinion, what you could do. So when I interviewed him, he said, according to American Association of Dietetics, Australian, I'm sure it's the same in Europe, every single person at every stage of life is able to survive and thrive on a plant-based diet when it's well-planned. So one of the biggest realizations I had is when I went vegan for the first couple years, I was saying, okay, I'm vegan for animals, health, and the planet, but I was eating the junk food. So just because you're vegan doesn't mean you're healthy. Vegan is for the animals, but if you want to be healthier, look into a whole food, plant-based, no oil or low oil diet. And that's what I realized is probably the better way to go for a lot of us who are looking to improve our health.
But if you go vegan for the animals, you're not necessarily doing it for your health.
Exactly.
Which is in some ways more important. If you want to kill yourself with chicken sandwich, fake chickens, that so be it. But as long as you're not eating animals...
But the hard part is a lot of us think we're doing it for health as well. Like in the first couple of years,
right.
I'm like, oh, I'm eating the Beyond Burgers. They're healthier. Then I go to a doctor and have high triglycerides and high cholesterol. I'm like, what's going on here? I'm thought vegan is healthy. So that was just my misconception. But
yeah,
properly planned vegan diet, such as whole food plant-based, is what I look at now.
Yeah. Well, and not going off the vegan train here, but sugar also is one of the number one, you know, chronic illness creators. So I always encourage people to not to go with the sugar as much anymore because it doesn't seem to be very good. Science is saying that it's responsible for a lot of troubles.
Thanks for the lesson. I will put my sugar away, but yeah.
He's got a big bag under his desk there. He just takes spoonfuls and... so tell me the documentary, it's not out yet. It's still in the shop, still in the garage being worked on. When it comes out, or where will it be available, and how will you get the message out?
So there's about 80 different distribution services that could release documentaries. So
oh, really?
We're in the process of contacting them and figuring out which one they'll be. So I'm not sure exactly where it'll be yet. I would love to be on Netflix. That's obviously every documentary producer's dream, but there's so many different platforms and I have social media accounts where people that follow me, I keep them in the loop. And when we know exactly where it'll be, then we'll post the links and messages there.
That's exciting. You have a good team behind you and you've interviewed a lot of luminaries in the field of veganism. What else do you hope to accomplish in your life?
So I mentioned the fundraising part was the biggest struggle for me.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people. So one thing I'd like to work into is helping other nonprofits or grassroots movements or vegan businesses, help them get the funding they need, and then use my background in entrepreneurship to help them build out the brand, build out products, work out on their campaigns, and just help other vegan initiatives grow and launch into the future. Where I have a behind the scenes project I'm working on right now, but I don't want to say exactly what it is until I'm 100% committed to it. So documentary comes first, but I like to look in that direction and help empower other people who are interested in growing the movement and supporting them.
Sounds like you've got some stuff cooking in the oven. That's a secret. That's good. That's
keeping
good.
Me busy.
Well, you know, I really hope that this comes into my viewing space soon because I'm excited to see every vegan documentary because I think they really do a wonderful job at illustrating the point that you and I are really trying to push to the people. And I'm so glad that you came here today to talk about animals, too, and that you're doing it for the animals because that's ultimately where I got my start as well. And And it warms my heart. So do you want to add anything before we go?
I think that's pretty much it. If you're a vegan, then just maybe listen to my message, make a post on social media, do something you're interested in and connect with other people. And we're the reason this movement grows. And the only reason we can save animals is with the actions that myself, Chris, other people, and that you take today. So I think that's the most important message I want to get out there.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Hey, go vegan or I'll find you and I'll, you know, I'll give you something right there, right in the kisser. I want to thank Andrew Alexander, wonderful human being, great guy to talk with, and we're going to be seeing more fantastic stuff come out of him in the future. Thanks for stopping by, guys. See ya.